Mark Reed Edwards, VP of Digital Marketing at HFS. Today we're meeting Steve Koutras, HFS Practice Lead for Research-Based Sourcing Advisory Services. Steve, welcome to HFS.
Thanks, Mark.
Can you share your background and, you know, what your career path has been like?
Let me start with a comment about the whole career. It seems that every position I took during my career took what I had just learned in the job I had and applied it, and I grew. And then I went to the next role, whether that was within the same company or in a different company. I've been fortunate enough to be able to grow, taking each role on and learning something new and moving forward. My theory is that a job has to be challenging. If you're not challenged or slightly afraid when you take a new job, you're probably, you know, underused. So my career started out in Mobil Oil Corporation. I worked in New York, London, the Netherlands, and Houston, Texas. I left Houston in 1985. When I left Houston, I said, never will I ever live in Houston again, which taught me an invaluable lesson. Never say never.
Right.
Because we'll hear later on the story why. I moved to New York, started my first company in 1985, the Taft Company, which did custom software development for wholesale distributors. We took, at that time, barcode readers, printers, forklifts, radio control, inventory. None of it talked to each other. So we did true systems integration, software development. And at that time, we were using COBOL backend and doing all the custom development in Formix 4GL, writing the CISAM files. Probably more information than you wanted to know. But that's okay. Sold that in 1990. Went to work for a nationwide recruiter called Pencom Systems. I was their CFO, CIO, small privately held company. And we were also in Austin, Next Step Developers, the company Steve Jobs started when he left Apple the first time, or was kicked out. It depends on how you want to phrase it. I left Pencom and went to SHL System House as director of finance. And it was there I realized, you know, I got my master's in accounting. By and large, I really don't like accountants that much. They don't laugh. You know, and I think if you can't enjoy your work and have a good time and laugh, you know, why bother? So I focused at SHL. I did some acquisitions and went on to run one. Then I joined Capgemini. And lo and behold, moved back to Houston, Texas. There's the never say never. And actually, I loved it the second time we were there. It was just great. Great place to raise kids. I had a fantastic role. I was really top of my game at that point. And after six great years, I was vice president with CAP. I left CAP and went to a Hewlett Packard. This was 1999. I went to a Hewlett Packard spinoff called Aliente. This was at the beginning of the dot-com boom. And we got first-round funding, and it was great. I ran all of Europe. And then they were a e-procurement company. So I learned from a supplier perspective how to provide procurement services to a client versus the consulting aspect of working for Capgemini. We went looking for second round funding in 2001. And if your timeline works correctly, that was the start of the dot-com bust. So at which point I joined a company called TPI, which is now called ISG. They were acquired by ISG. And I was their partner in charge of F&A and procurement services in Europe. But, you know, it's the kind of company where the word partner doesn't mean the same as like it does at the big four. You know, the team's working at 3 a.m. doing something. Everybody wants coffee. I go get coffee. Right. So and that's always been my philosophy about teams. And then I left TPI after 6 years, went to start my own company a second time. And consulting work. And that just had to do with personal situations, to be a coach to my three kids and be more around rather, because I was traveling 40, 42 weeks a year. And out Monday, you know, 5-4-3, out Monday morning, back Thursday night, build a client 5 days, 4 days at client site, 3 days out of your own bed. And then I started working for Akzo Nobel as a consultant in their global business services area. And it was very interesting. I mean, I got to see from the other side implementation of an outsourcing contract. I started off renegotiating a contract, the F&A deal, And then I ended up having to run it and help guide it and run it. And then I moved in with AXO into procurement. And then I pretty much reached my end of game at AXO. So I moved to, started my third consulting firm. And lo and behold, about a month ago, Phil, who I've known for since he started the Horses for Sources blog and always been a fan, so we got chatting. There was a sourcing engagement that I got brought in to do as a consultant. And within a week, I was an HFS team player.
That's great. So you've kind of answered part of this next question, but is why did joining HFS interest you and why at this time?
It's actually a very easy answer. From the first day, I felt like I was home. I've done some really great things in my career, really enjoyable things, growing a P&L from 10 consultants up to 100 and to 300 consultants and going from zero revenue to 100 million in 2.5 years. I've done some fascinating things, but I was looking for a place to call home where I could bring the value of my experience and knowledge with a bunch of people I like working with. So it was really easy. And since I've been here, I've been just delighted. Everybody to a person has been wonderful, intelligent, smart. As I said, I feel like I'm home.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk about the research-based sourcing advisory services that you're working on. Can you tell me about the focus of it and kind of what you'll be doing day to day?
Well, day to day is an interesting concept at this moment because I'm delivering to our first sourcing advisory client while I am working on the go-to-market strategy. I'm trying to meet everyone. So, you've heard of the phrase dying a death by 1,000 cuts. At the moment, I'm dying a death by 30-minute interviews. Everybody wants to talk to me. Suppliers, old friends. I know a lot of people in the industry. So it's just been great. These are great conversations, right? But every 30 minutes, I'm like, okay, what are we doing? What's my vision going forward? If we wanted to do the same thing that all the other sourcing advisors do, I wouldn't have joined. The whole idea was that this is different. This is research content-led advisory work. So if you think of full lifecycle end-to-end sourcing management, it starts with a sourcing strategy. And when I say sourcing strategy, I don't mean the answer is outsourcing. I mean, we look at the business model the client has and we determine is it a captive route? Shared services, GBS, and what can be outsourced. So overall, how would you go about sourcing, whether that's internally or externally, providing the client with a strategy, and then executing against that. So maybe we might help with the transformation. We're not process people. In other words, if you want a process builder, there's plenty of firms that do that very well. But we can help with the transformation aspects of it. And I don't want to mention the C word, change, because done well, it's transparent. But really, that's what transformation is about. So the people within sourcing, which is just me at the moment, believe that transformation done well leads to dramatic change. So I'm not going to use the word disruptive. I don't like the word, just like I don't like the word innovative. How do you measure innovation? You have an innovation-o-meter? So taking that, so helping them on the journey, and whether that's negotiating a deal, that part's commodity, right? That project called start sort outsourcing process, send RFP, down select, negotiate, sign. That's become very commoditized. Templates, we can do heavy lifting, but that's not what really our value is. Our value is in the content that we bring through our research, the value we bring with our experience and knowledge that we can share with the client through storytelling. And I don't mean I just sit there pontificating. If I need to go get coffee for the team, I go get coffee for the team. So we do both the insourced, which is the GBS shared service captive, or brownfield centers, as well as the outsourcing transaction. And then we do health checks, right? So making sure that both internal and externally, you're delivering on the efficiency, the productivity, the harmonization, standardization you're looking to achieve. And then, you know, rinse and repeat. And we circle around. I'd rather have 15 outstanding clients that we have relationships year in and year out with than 150 clients that just come and take a piece of the pie.
So a depth of the relationship is important.
Adding value year in, year out. You know, that relationship of being with them for the end-to-end life cycle of sourcing management. Yeah. And whether that's helping them with governance, whether that's coming in, take legal. Legal decided they're going to outsource certain aspects of the internal legal process within a company. Typically, by and large, legal doesn't know how to manage suppliers. You know, they don't want to know how to manage suppliers, but they're going to need to, because any outsourced contract needs to be managed through governance. We can teach them, because it's a very different way supplier think is different than what internal sales and internal management and internal provisioning of services are. This whole concept of one office is all about this and what we're doing in the sourcing advisory as well. So can I explain it to you?
Yeah, that's great. So just a couple of things to wrap up. You live in the Netherlands.
Yes.
And so you moved from Houston to the Netherlands at some point in 22 years ago. What keeps you in the Netherlands?
Great question. I get asked that a lot, especially by Dutch people. not that they're looking to kick me out, but why you come from New York, you've lived in all these great places. Why would you want to stay here? I like the cultural attitude here. I like the way children are brought up. I like the family values, the family differentiation, and how the family works. I like the way the Dutch people think, by and large. I like the way they look at consensus. They're changing as well, just like everybody else in the world, right? Globalization and the internet and all of that. But it's a beautiful country with really intelligent people who I enjoy being around. And, they say, well, it's such a small country. Yeah, but that's part of the charm.
There's something to say about a society that has, figured out how to beat back the North Sea, right? And that breeds kind of a hardy kind of person, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And the heritage. I mean, there's a history that goes back further than, just 200 or 300 years. When you add up all the little bits and pieces, it comes up to why I like being here.
So let's close. I know when we were introduced that you like quotes, and I'm wondering whether there's a quote that can kind of encapsulate your feeling about HFS and what you're about to embark on.
My quote would be, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together.
That's a beautiful one. And I think that is a great way to wrap up our discussion. Thanks so much for joining me. And it was great to meet you and welcome to the team.
Thanks a lot, Mark. It was really good meeting you, and I enjoyed the interview.